27 before the hour on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Patrick Madrid coming up at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific. Also coming up in this half hour, some highlights from the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis Men's Conference, some 1,200 men strong. Glenn was there along with Patrick Madrid and a great musician, Luke Spehar, and Archbishop Bernard Hebda, whom Glenn ran into at the food truck. And we're going to eat right now. Remember the family meal? Growing up, did you have the family meal? Everybody sat down together. Maybe it was just on Sunday. Maybe it was every night. And if you're a baby boomer, if you're in the upper end of being a millennial, you still had that family meal. You still sat down. You shared the day together. You shared food. You shared laughs. You shared crying together. What happened to that? We're always going in a million different directions. And how can we get back to the family meal? Emily Jaminet is going to take a look at that right now, a Catholic author, speaker, and also a mom of seven kids. And her second book from Ave Maria Press is The Friendship Project. Emily, good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning. I'm so excited to talk about the family meal, especially during Lent. It's such a great season to reevaluate some of the patterns and behavior in family life. And really, we've kind of gotten astray from the importance of gathering around the table and sharing, breaking bread together, sharing that meal. And so I think for all of us, we can, you know, spend a little bit of time reevaluating and seeing its significance in our life.
How do you do a family meal with seven kids?
What a great question. Well, the good news is the oldest is off at college, so I'm now only down to six kids, ranging 18 to 3 living in our house. So we have many different schedules and activities going on. But I think the most important thing is putting it on your calendar, seeing it as a priority. And I really saw this play out in my own life with my parents, who invested in a table that held all of us plus some more. They had a beautiful 18th century table they got at an antique mall, and it's probably one of our prized possessions as we gather as an extended family. And I saw the value of, you know, each week coming together, lighting those candles, sharing those stories, and inviting other people to enter in. So as a busy mom, as I mentioned, you know, my husband and I have really said this needs to be a priority. We need to get it on the table, get it on the calendar, and you know, make it work. So that's, you know, really essential to do that. And, you know, the second thing is before you even, you know, plan what that meal is going to be, evaluate where do you eat as a family. For many people, a dining room table is covered in paperwork. It's where the kids do their homework. So maybe decide this is where we gather as a family. This is our place. And make sure that it's cleaned off. It's a priority to be there. It's not covered with bills and papers.
That's a good point. That's a good point. And before you even get to the family table, and Emily has just texted us a picture, and it's an awesome picture with her six kids. You went to the store together with the six kids to plan the meal. What a great idea.
We did, actually. We're spending the week on our spring break down on vacation, and one of the neat places about where we're staying at the big family meal table. So I told the kids after we arrived, we went to Mass. I said, all right, we're all going to go and invest in what we're going to eat this week. So we took all six kids, you know, and my husband and I, and, you know, picking out the groceries, finding out that this kid likes avocado with their Mexican, and this other child, you know, just loves this particular fruit. And, you know, we meal plan together. And I think sometimes getting that buy-in is really great. Finding out what do your kids actually like to eat? What are things that are fun to serve as a family? So it's a great experience, not only in the ordinary moments of being at home, but also on a vacation, not always thinking you have to eat out and putting that pressure on yourselves, but also investing in family time at the beach or wherever you are.
Emily, in addition to all the fun that getting the food together can be, do you make a conscious decision to all talk together to kind of check in with how everybody's doing that day as well?
You really do need to. And for busy young families, I actually set a timer and I say, I let the children know the expectation. I say, you know, we're going to sit here for a minimum of, you know, 30 minutes. So, you know, put your phone away to the teenagers. I don't want to see them at the table, and really remind them of what is appropriate. What does it mean to eat as a family? And I really challenge a lot of families to begin with a community of grace. And so we say our prayers, and then we also thank God for our blessings, because sometimes we can forget to do that and acknowledge what God's doing and the things that we're grateful for.
Emily Jaminet with us this morning. We're talking about the family meal. Do you still sit down as a family for dinner every night or on a regular basis during the week? Maybe it's a few nights a week or definitely on the weekends. 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. On the Catholic Order of Foresters Life Insurance Studio line, what does the family meal look like in your house? 888-914-9149. Do you bring out the good china? Do you do paper plates? What do you do? What's if Glenn and I came to sit down at your family table, what would we experience?
Well, you would experience probably paper plates on top of nice dishware if it's a busy night full of track practices and soccer. But I try to, you know, make the same experience be one of laughter and fun. I do light the candles whenever we gather as a family just to remind them that this is a special experience. And, you know, and yet other times I have a countertop with a couple crock pots going. And, you know, our family meal might be right around 3 o'clock. 3:30 when everyone's coming home from school, and that way, you know, before they head off to sports and work.
Oh, that's a good idea. That's a good idea, is to be flexible with those times. And of course, always start in prayer.
Yes, to be flexible and start with prayer and see what is works best for your family. You know, a lot of families are so much on the go that they might have the family meal be at breakfast, you know, when everyone can gather, but making this a priority is really essential. And asking the Lord to show you, you know, what does our family meal look like? You know, how can we improve this experience so that the children and the family come together and have these positive interactions?
And you don't necessarily have to do a gourmet meal every night. It could be something where the kids help you participate in making the meal.
You're really right about that. You know, I think thanks to a lot of these, you know, cooking shows, we think that everything has to just be so gourmet to call it a family meal. But I actually cook, you know, just the way I would any other night, you know, mac and cheese sometimes, chicken, burgers. But one of the things I also do to make it easier on me is I have the meal, like the prep plan figured out for each child. So someone might slice the strawberries, somebody might prep the salad, but they know that, you know, there'll be at least one chore waiting for them when they get home from Catholic school that they know that they're going to help out with the family meal or clear the dishes or load up the dishwasher. But it's not all just on me to provide that experience for them.
Emily, do you realize what great life skills you're teaching your kids almost accidentally?
Well, that's a good way to view it. Sometimes with, you know, being a family of eight, you know, for our meals, it can feel a bit overwhelming. So dividing up the tasks has really helped. And what I'm finding is my kids actually are more interested in cooking and they're appreciative of, you know, all the ingredients that go into making a pot of stew or, you know, a whatever particular meal we're having that night.
What's for dinner tonight and what time? Because Glenn could be over. Glenn could actually provide the entertainment. You know, a little candlelight accordion music. That's very, that could be very romantic for
That'd
you and
Mr. That'd go good
Mr.
with
Jaminet.
Italian. It'd go really good
yes,
with Italian.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you would like where we are because we are beachside. So down in Florida, we rented a place with a big, large table, and tonight it will be Mexican night. Last night it was hamburgers, you know, that we grilled out and had a big salad. So tonight will be Mexican, and that's actually my kids' favorite. So
awesome.
Figuring out what they like and keep trying. The picky eaters keep presenting those foods that they don't necessarily know if that they like, but just keep offering it to them, and they will eventually come around and appreciate it.
Emily Jaminet and the importance of the family meal. What's that like in your house? 888-914-9149. Let's see what it's like in Lynn's house in Western Springs, Illinois. Lynn, good morning. Welcome to Morning Air. What's the family meal in your house?
Good morning. Oh, I love this topic because I tell everybody about my family dinner night. Every Wednesday for about the past 2.5 years, my sons come home. They bring their friends, their girlfriends, whatever. We have anywhere from 5 to 10 people at my table. And every single Wednesday night, it is like a holiday feast. I say it's like our midweek, it's our midweek holiday. And I fix an elaborate, you know, meal. Sometimes it's simple, but, you know, I have a huge picnic table out in the backyard for the summertime. And in the winter, we're just huddled around the table. We celebrate everybody's birthdays. We start with a prayer. We talk, we laugh, we play catchphrase after dinner. And there's always a dessert. And it's just so special. And then my son's girlfriends, I knew early on I was onto something when on a Tuesday she said, "I can't wait, tomorrow's Wednesday." And I said, "Really, what's going on?" And she said, it's family dinner night. We called it FDN for short. And it's just taken on a life of its own. And it is the most amazing, just wonderful thing. I'm a single mom. I raise my two boys. The fact that they come home every week and we celebrate. We just celebrate life. We celebrate everybody's successes and you know, it's just all great.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Where'd you serve last Wednesday night, Lynn?
Oh my gosh, you would ask. Last Wednesday was Carnitas. Oh my gosh. And every week my son tells me, he's just like, Mom, this is the best thing ever. You know, it's just gotten to be a joke. But last week was Carnitas with refried beans and some sort of dessert. I can't even remember what the dessert was. Oh my gosh, because they all run together. But I do themes. Like sometimes I'll do, you know, like a Creole theme, like when it was the day after Fat Tuesday. It was Ash Wednesday, actually. I can eat everything. But, you know, we just do everything. In October, we do a big holiday feast, you know, preparing for Thanksgiving, you know, like everything
awesome.
With all the trimmings and it's awesome.
That's great.
I encourage everybody to do it. It doesn't have to be crazy. It's just, it's the gathering that's so important.
Yeah.
And just one night a week. Yeah. It started when my son was in school and I asked him, I said, could you please just be at my table one night a week? That's all I ask, you know? And then all of a sudden the friends started coming and it just grew and it's wonderful.
Isn't that beautiful, Emily?
I love that story. And I love that you opened your table to other people. And I think that's part of our lesson of the importance of hospitality. You know, who can we welcome into our circle and pass on the values and the, you know, the conversation and the warmth of the two other people? That is such a gift. And that's really what it means to be Catholic, is to extend that, you know, that dining experience to others and showing them and witnessing our faith in those little tiny ordinary moments, like sharing a meal together.
That's beautiful, Lynn. Maybe we'll send Patrick Madrid over with some of his world famous tacos one night.
I would be so honored, and my boys would just be like, they would expect him, because I talk about him like he's, you know, my uncle or my brother.
That's great. That's great.
Like, oh, Patrick, he's here.
Oh, I love it. Lynn, thanks for sharing. Thanks for sharing this morning here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app with Emily Jaminet. We're talking about the importance of the family meal. What's that like in your house? Michelle, listening on Relevant Radio 94.9 in Lexington, Kentucky. Michelle, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning, and I wanted to share with the listeners some of the benefits that I was able to reap, because our family did sit down for dinner every night, and we learned proper, very proper table manners. So in our adult lives, whether we were having a lunch or dinner interview or whatever, we certainly knew how to seamlessly fit in. We also learned a high degree of respect for our parents, because we got to eavesdrop, in a manner of speaking, as they shared the challenges and the accomplishments of their day, and we learned a great deal from them. And on top of that, at a very young age, we all had extremely enriched vocabularies. So of my mom's four normal children, one of them was a special needs child, but the other four, we just had exceptional of scholastic achievement. And honestly, I attribute all of this to sitting down at the family table every single night. And it's been a blessing to me for decades to come, and I've passed along all of these benefits to the children in my life. So I think this is a marvelous topic, and keep it going.
That is awesome, Michelle. And that's a great point, Emily. The art of conversation, the art of compromise, the art of listening, the art of speak, all of that happens. So those are the fruits of the family dinner.
I think you're absolutely right. And that was a gift given to me from my parents, and then passing that on and really setting the standard with the children, letting them know the expectation, or the friends of your children. This is what we do here. This is the type of, you know, meal that's going to take place, letting them understand. And I was thinking, there are some times when I pack it in a picnic style, and we might eat that meal, you know, along the soccer field, watching one of the children play a game, because, you know, the experience of entering into community, sharing, and really, you know, supporting each other is important. And sometimes, you know, as Michelle might have touched on, there might be conflict at that dining room table. You might have, you know, just topics that you don't agree on, but learning to work through them and share and be polite to one another and respectful is a life skill that you will carry on. And it's not just about, you know, instant fast. And I think this culture is focused so much on the instant meal, the drive-through meal, that we really need to show our children what it means to experience a meal and appreciate the amount of time it takes into preparing it and then cleaning it up.
And as we talk about the family meal here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app with Emily Jaminet, putting the family in family, is Emily's cousin, Mary Sue, listening in Bloomington, Indiana. Mary Sue, good morning.
Good morning. Hi, Emily.
Good morning.
I wanted to share, I don't even think you know this, Emily. We lived near the seminary, and my mom and dad were always very open and helpful to seminarians and young priests studying. So it was always funny because at 5 o'clock, all these seminarians would ring the doorbell and we'd all sit down. My mom would invite them and they knew she was a good cook. And we'd have great discussions, theological discussions, and we'd talk about this and that event and current issues. And I learned so much at those meals, and also how open my parents were and supportive they were. And it was just a wonderful experience for me.
Wow, that is beautiful, Mary Sue. Thank you for sharing. And Emily, thanks for guiding us in a great conversation about the family meal. Emily is a Catholic author, speaker, and of course, radio personality here on Morning Air. And of course, the author of 2 books, Divine Mercy for Moms and The Friendship Project, published by Ave Maria Press. You can go to emilyjaminet.com. Emily, thanks for a great conversation. Mary Sue, thank you for calling. The best to you and the family. Enjoy the remainder of your vacation.
Oh, thank you so much. Everyone have a blessed day.
Thanks. Emily Jaminet this morning here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Time now is 9 before the hour on Morning Air. And for those of you listening in the Twin Cities and vicinity on Relevant Radio 1330, gentlemen, perhaps you were part of the nearly 1,200 strong for the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis Men's Conference over the weekend. Glenn's got highlights for you this morning.